Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway, brought to you by Harvest Ridge Coffee from Refreshment Services Pepsi. I know it's a warm day, but have you ever tried iced Harvest Ridge? It's pretty good. I mean, it tastes the same. It's just cold. Who says you need a hot cup of coffee to start out the morning? You'll probably need a hot cup of coffee by Friday. But today, if you want a cold cup of coffee, you can get iced Harvest Ridge or make your own. And you can get it at your local convenience stores. You can get it delivered to your work like we do here at the Radio Ranch. The Pepsi truck comes by, slows down, dumps out the Harvest Ridge box. I run out there like a heroin addict, grab it in, and you can also get it, of course, at your home and buy it at the grocery store. So Harvest Ridge Coffee from Refreshment Services Pepsi, and thanks to Pepsi for all they promote in our community. We're going to say good morning to Madison Peters at Greta, Vice President of the Great River Economic Development Foundation. We've got a couple of things to talk about today, but first and foremost, Madison, the Illinois legislature just adjourned, and they did pass a budget. Has Greta gotten any word about anything that's going to be helpful or hurtful, or is it too early to be looking at this budget?
I think it's a little too early.
They didn't even probably look at it until 2 hours before they passed it, so how can you possibly know what's in it, right?
Yeah, I don't have any insight right now, so, you know, maybe next month I'll have an update.
But that is one of the things that Greta does. I mean, you're constantly trying to increase economic development in our area, and of course, being on top of taxes, programs, all this kind of stuff, and it is a lot to keep track of. And
absolutely.
Some people, I don't think, realize that that's a big part of what Greta does, because your staff is honed in on that.
Yeah.
And so when this all comes out, the governor actually signs these bills, and we kind of really know what actually is going to make it on the books and what's not. But there's a new delivery tax. I'll be interested to see what that's all about. If you smoke cigarettes or vape, you're going to have to pay a lot more. I can't imagine anyone smoking anymore.
I know,
couldn't afford it.
No.
I mean, to heck with my lungs. I mean, I can't afford barely to. I haven't had steak in so long. You know, I tell you what.
So cigarettes or steak, what are you going to choose?
I mean, yeah, I can barely afford to feed myself, much less smoke away, you know, $5 a pack or whatever it is. But we'll get an update on how this affects all of our local businesses. And of course, Missouri adjourned. Now they're going back in special session. So the great thing about it is we don't necessarily have to follow every little bill. We have people like Greta and the chamber and other people that follow it for us.
Yes.
So if you're concerned about something that's happened in the legislature, give them a few weeks to let it settle down and then call and say, how is that going to affect me?
Yes, absolutely.
So let's talk about something that's definitely going to affect people, and that is the Adams County Board Round 2 of the GROW program. Of course, this stands for something that was cute. What does GROW stand for? Growing Residential Opportunities Countywide. Okay.
Lots of acronyms.
Right. And that's probably one of your major jobs, right? Whenever anything new comes out, you have
think
to be...
Think of an acronym.
I'm going to think of something that's lollipop, just because I want to say Greta endorses lollipop or whatever, you know, I'll have to think of something. But what is this GROW program?
Yeah, so it started in 2024 with round one, where the Adams County Board allocated $1 million of ARPA funds to incentivize our developers to support and to develop new housing. And we are now in round two, and there is $360,000 available to developers. Your developers will get $20,000 non-repayment loans. So you don't have to pay it back, but it's per unit, so you can apply for more than 20. And it's for development. You can do construction, or you can do new developments of single housing, duplexes, condos, townhomes, all the things.
So recently I went on the loft tour.
Yeah, I'm sad I missed it.
Oh, it's fantastic. And I understand that maybe some GROW ARPA money might have gone into some of those projects.
Yeah.
I mean, again, $20,000 is not a lot when you consider some of these projects are very major. But for $20,000 for one of them was an affordable
Yeah.
I mean, they were all brilliant, don't get me wrong. But I mean, a lot of people can't spend $4,000 a month on an apartment rent, no matter how nice the apartment is. It's worth it, but I'm not in the market for that. But I did go to one that was developed, and the upper floor could still be developed under part two, that were market rate apartments that were affordable for the, quote, average person. In fact, the person whose apartment we were viewing was a single man who had a job and, you know, was able to make it on that rent. So you really need to attract more landlords and more people to want to be interested in this, because we've seen the results of the first, $600,000 that was spent. Mm-hmm. And now
and 57 new units. I mean, so yeah, we're making a difference. But it's, you know, it's not a fast difference. And so.
Well, it's not vast and it's not fast, no. But it is a difference. And again, $360,000 now up for grabs. And I think that the other units that are already on the market now, they may be increasing property tax revenues.
Absolutely.
So the county board, the city council will see these things and they will say, this is working. Mm-hmm. This is a good investment of our money. Maybe we need to, now that ARPA funds are gone and are never coming back, that was a one-time thing. Mm-hmm. But maybe this is something, we can't do it on $1 million scale probably, but maybe we could continue round three.
Right, absolutely. So. And I think this has really opened eyes to, like, okay, what is the needs of the developers? And, like, what are they looking for? What more can we do? So we're hoping that this isn't it. But, you know, for right now, applications are due June 17th. Mm. So, you know, you can get them on the GRDF website and... Yeah, turn them by 4.
Is it all over Adams County?
All over.
So there's no geographical boundary.
No.
Any place in Adams County that you want to rehab, update, rent.
Yes.
It has to be rental property.
You can sell it. So you can sell it or you can rent the property.
Okay, so you can build a new home.
Mm-hmm.
And sell it, but you can't live there. You can't get this money and you take advantage of it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you either have to build a new property, and this $20,000 will help you.
Yes.
Or you can rent, or you can rehab some rental units, which $20,000, especially at a lower income level, can do quite a bit. So
the big thing with rehabbing is the property currently cannot be livable. So no one can be living in it. So it can't just be like repainting a kitchen or anything.
Yeah. I saw the one. Yeah. It's not livable.
Yeah, well, perfect.
Actually, it was pretty messy, and I thought, well, this kind of looks like my place. I could move here, and I'd feel comfortable here. The chairman of the county board was showing me. He was on the tour that day, one of the docents was showing it around, and he said, you know, these upstairs apartments are the next to go, and they seem to probably be giving the green light because they rented the first floor or the second floor. Now they're working on the third floor. You know, it is interesting. We have such a need.
Yeah.
But the problem is... you have to have that entrepreneurial spirit where you want to be a landlord.
Yeah.
Because it's something you can't apply for yourself and do the work yourself and then move in and, oh, thank you for $20,000 to help make me a livable place. It's something that you have to partner with a landlord and be a good tenant and all the other things.
Yeah.
So,
and it's an investment for the developer. I mean, $20,000 isn't going to do the whole project. So, you know, they also have to put skin in the game.
I would love it if they had a buy a new car program, because I'd love to have, you know, $20,000 towards a new car.
We're just coming up with all the sorts
come
of
up with all kinds
lollipop.
Of
lollipop.
Lollipop. That we'll figure out how that means a new car for Mary somehow. My nickname's Pinky, so the two P's can definitely be Pinky. Pinky's performance, whatever. So it doesn't seem to me like you would have a hard time getting people to apply for this. Or do you think you'll be able to give away this $360,000?
We're crossing our fingers. I'm not positive, you know, it just depends. I haven't really dived into any of the applications we've received so far.
Right. Well, I guess a lot of it would be people that have done it in the past could reapply and
absolutely.
Get a second. So if they think it's great,
they'll
probably reapply.
Exactly.
And if other people see what they've done, I mean, all you have to do is just go on that loft tour. And I don't know what was involved with some of it, but I know the one project was definitely one of those grow projects, and it was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
You know, I lived, when I was single, I lived downtown, and my apartment was nice, and affordable for me.
Perfect.
And so we need more of that downtown.
Yeah.
So,
and I think the great
thing. And it doesn't have to be downtown.
Right.
It can be anywhere. We need it
in
Camp Point.
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem. We need affordable housing all over Adams County, even in the farthest reaches. And so, you know, if you live way out in Lorain, Quincy may not be your go-to destination. It could be Mount Sterling.
Yeah.
Or it could be, you know, Jacksonville. I don't know. You know, it could be somewhere else. So definitely most of this money will definitely benefit entire Adams County,
yes,
because people live and work here primarily. Mm-hmm. But it's not limited to that. The building has to be in this geographic area.
Yes.
So we only have a few weeks to apply. We've already given out $640,000. And you know, it's too bad. There's 57 units. It's not possible for everybody to be able to view all those 57 units.
That would be cool.
yeah, I mean, I think if you went on the loft tour and you saw what that money can do,
mm-hmm,
hopefully somebody would be inspired, if they already own a rental property, to say, you know, I really do need to upgrade this. I need to put some things in. I need to make it so that it's affordable. You know, I don't need to, you know, granite countertops.
Right.
I just need to have affordable place for folks to live. I've got this rental property. It's not in good shape. I can upgrade this and get this on the market and get this at a market rate and make a profit on this, and everybody wins.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
So
that's one of the things that's happening. So if you're interested in that program, they are going to be telling you about it on June 17th, you've got to have your application in by 4 o'clock. So if you need help with that, contact the Grediff office. You probably got a tutorial online. I know you had a couple of live things.
Yes.
Those have passed. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's talk about workforce data to drive smart decisions.
Yeah. We were excited this year to roll out this data-driven reports that develop real-time insight on salaries, job postings, government statistics, and worker profiles. And we realized while we were working on all this stuff is that our employers are needing some more data to support the decisions they are needing or making. And so this will allow them to have access to all of that. And so you can contact the Grediff office and we can develop that, really personalize that to fit your needs. We can provide occupation snapshots to customize reports to highlight the data on the jobs, the earnings, all the details. We can also anticipate the needs and the trends of the things that are happening. So there's a lot within the program, and we can really customize it to fit our employer's needs.
I'm always curious, Madison Peters. Okay. I mean, I understand you can find out what a Quincy public school teacher makes, because that's public record anyway. So you could put up there, you know, the average teacher salary is X, the benefit package is equal to X, which is quite generous.
Yeah.
But how do you ascertain with accuracy what the average nursing salary is at Blessing Hospital, or the average line person's salary is at ADM? Those are private companies.
Right. So we use a platform called Lightcast, and they, you know, gather all the data for us from all throughout the United States, and that really helps us, you know, the program develops in these reports, and we can kind of customize it on the geographic area we want to compare it to. So, you know, we're not out there, you know, getting the data, but our platform is.
Well, when you get the data, can you call like Blessing Hospital and say, our data showed that the average nurse makes X?
Is this what you guys are
saying? Is this what you're actually paying,
absolutely,
or is it much below or much above? Because, again, I'm always, pardon me for being so skeptical, but I read these radio and television news director reports about the average salaries, and I mean, I'm just laughing my butt off, you know, about what they make, supposedly. Of course, again, you know, obviously if you're living in New York City or San Francisco, it's going to be different than if you live in Quincy, Illinois. The data is only really good when you compare apples to apples, because we've had people say, oh, I'm going to move to St. Louis to be a nurse because I make X. I go, good. You know, you may make a third more money. You're going to pay 50% more in housing and other costs. So you have to kind of compare apples to apples.
Yeah.
If we're using this especially to recruit, or to say, this is an area where we are really behind, maybe our salaries aren't commensurate. I don't know, again, how you get a private company to raise their salary if they they're going to do it on their own. They don't need Greta to tell them that.
Right.
I mean, business owner knows what they have to pay to get an adequate workforce.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we're, you know, this is just a added tool to the toolbox for our employers. But another thing like Greta's using it for is that we can look at like the skills needed for a specific job that is needed. So then we can work with our education partners to figure out how we can educate our future workforce to have the skills needed for jobs that are available.
Well, the other thing is people are retiring all the time. So do we have a huge employer in town where they anticipate a big turnover?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the next 5 to 10 years, and we're going to have to maybe recreate more workers than the quote average. You know, if you say, well, I hire 5 new people every year and I retire 5 people every year, and it kind of keep, but sometimes there's a blip.
Yeah.
And that blip can be a problem. The other thing is, I remember sitting in high school and somebody coming in with this avant-garde, what's the future going to look like when you're grown up? And said, there'll be jobs that I can't even tell you about because they haven't been invented. And one of the things they were talking about back then was mining landfills for recyclable material. In other words, stuff that we just threw away in 1950, 1960, 1970. Somebody started figuring out that, hey, there's copper in there, or there's some electronic thing in there, or there's plastic in there. And we could actually, if we could mine through and dig through all the undigested garbage, we might be able to grab stuff. Well, now we don't even bother to take it to the landfill. We just keep it out of the landfill. So things like that, jobs that, I mean, I guarantee you when I was in high school, I never thought, gee, I wonder if I should try to get a job creating a thing called a cell phone, you know, where I could make a phone call from my pocket. We can't even begin to think about the jobs that are going to be available. But it doesn't really matter if a job's available in, you know, Savannah, Georgia. We've got to know what the jobs are here in Quincy. So that's what what this is going to do. So you're looking at trends.
Yes.
You're looking at needs. You're looking at industry efficiency. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm always fascinated because everybody wants help.
Yes.
But if I'm a private business owner, I want to invite you into my place of business, not have you come into my place of business, not that you could anyway. Mm-hmm. But is that why this partner membership with Greta works so well? Because you're not some stranger coming in to analyze things.
Right, no. We're just here to be a resource for you, connect you to the opportunities, and then to offer you opportunities that you might not have realized was available.
So how are you using this data, say, to drive retention? What kind of things are you...
If we have, you know, like I just was speaking about, is that like if we have an employer that's like, we need a lot of, I'm just making something up, welders.
not made up.
So we can use this to like then work with our education partners to figure out, you know, how many welders are in their program? What are the skills needed that they're teaching, and so really try to create that pipeline of future students to our employers and retain people that are already in Quincy.
And John Wood Community College is a big part of this, obviously.
Fantastic.
And so is every Quincy University Western, and even across the river, because I know a culinary arts program opened up at John Wood because of great demand for that. Now, at some point in time, they may outstrip that. They may say, well, we had that program for 5 years or 10 years, and now we've trained everybody there is to, you know, train foreseeably. We can't have a college class about it. You know, nursing will never go out of style. Welding will never go out of style. It seems truck driver training will never go out of style. What are some of the things that Greta has been a proponent of in recent years that have helped make maybe a training program, even a certificate program or something like that, something not quite so formal like I'm going to get a college degree, but I'm going to be able to take this to an employer and say, hey, you need this skill. I certify I have this skill.
I think a great example of that would be the FAME program, which is an earn to learn program. So students are working with employers, but also getting a certificate. And the certificate is developed with employers at the table, so they are picking and choosing the classes these students are taking. And so that's really a few
days a week at the work site,
and then a few days in
the classroom with book learning, because it takes both.
It does. And I love that model.
That model is fantastic.
It is.
Well, we've got to let you go.
All
is there
right.
anything else you wanted to bring up? Because you come so prepared, and sometimes I don't ask you if there's anything last minute.
I think I am good, but if anyone ever needs anything, you know where to find us. Gretiff Office.
Okay. Well, we have an ad running right now at WTAD for a morning show host and somebody that can do news reporting and sports and weather and all kinds of things. We're adding to our team all the time. So if you know anybody who wants to... It's the best career in the world. I mean,
speak on the radio.
Yeah. You don't have to wear special equipment. You don't have to wear a uniform. Heck, you can wear your pajamas. I mean, I usually don't, but Madison can tell you my pink fuzzy feet bunny slippers look really good. Thank you so very much,
you.
Madison Peters. We will talk to you or another representative next month at this time.
Sounds good.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk farmers market. But first, let's head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative and see what's happening up there. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD, 943. Two of my favorite people are here. Jeff Moran and John King are here, and they're here to talk about the Farmers Market, which is happening outside the Quincy Town Center. And their grand opening, I guess, is coming up. But that's not till Thursday, right?
Thursday the 5th.
Thursday the 5th is the big grand opening from 3 to 6 p.m., and then after that, they'll be open every Tuesday and Thursday from 3 to 6 and every Saturday from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. The Quincy Town Center Farmers Market at 34th and Broadway. It's in front, off facing Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
Not hidden in the back anymore. It's up in the front. It's right by Dunham Sports.
Right.
It's right by First Bankers Trust. You can't miss it. And it's one of the great farmers markets in our area. So these guys have been doing this for a long, long time. So first and foremost, tell us about your business and how a farmer's market booth has helped grow your business as opposed to having a brick-and-mortar store or just doing it online.
We had J&J Goat's Milk products for, 12, 13 years.
Yeah, 13
and we've just built up a clientele because our soaps are so good. And, people like the lotions and stuff, and they come to the house if they can't, get something at the store, at the market or mm-hmm. something. And if they want something last minute, they know they're welcome. And it's something different at the market and something that draws a lot of people besides produce, and cookies and stuff like that.
Well, let's talk about the farmer's market, because every farmer's market, kind of is open to vendors, mm-hmm. but you have to restrict. You can't have everybody selling the same thing. You can't have 10 people all selling sweet corn, or nobody will be able to make it, So how does the Quincy Town Center Farmers Market operate? Obviously, your soaps and lotions, and that vendor ID is going to be protected from too much competition. And same way with, you have people that do jewelry, you have people that do crafts, you have fresh cut flowers, you have farm-raised beef, farm-raised pork, stuff like that, chicken eggs, mm-hmm. all kinds of different stuff. So how do you decide, or who decides, who gets in and who doesn't get in?
Well, I tell you, to be honest about with our soap, we've been very, very lucky. We've been the only soap vendors there, and that's why we've built our business up so good, because, people liked ours. Now, there is someone that has a different kind of soap, but it's not goat's milk. And they're not there all the time.
Right.
But we have people that, and I'm glad to, admit that we're real popular, that if for some reason we would miss, like on a real hot day or a rainy day, where's the guys at? We want that soap, so that's a good feeling.
So that when you get a farmer's market vendor at Town Center, they're going to be there on Tuesday and Thursday and Saturday. And they're going to pretty much be there regularly, because you need to count on them. Now, I know you have a Facebook page that tells not only who's going to be there, but kind of what their product is that day. Because if sweet corn's not in, you can go to the farmer's market and look for sweet corn until the cows come home. But if it's not ready, it's not ready. On the other hand, if you go there in September and look for sweet corn, you're probably not going to find any either. So part of the cachet of a farmer's market is knowing when I walk out there on Tuesday or Thursday or Saturday, when I go out there, what's going to be on the agenda. Now, Corey Crawford from Crawford Farms is kind of in charge of everything.
That's Mr. C.
Mr. C, yeah. So, but you put on the Facebook page, here's what we have this week, right?
I started, you know, I'm real proud of that, too. When I took over that 10 years ago, they had 70 followers. I put on there, I mean, I've just been putting on there sporadically, but it'll be every day starting Thursday. Pictures of the vendors, what the vendors have, you know, who they look like so they can go directly there. I have got my following up to 2,056 people following me now. And I do funny pictures. I do pictures every Saturday. If the watermelons are going to be in, I'll let them know, see, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, our soaps, if we got any new kinds of scents of soaps. You know, if we got cookies special, we got a new guy that's going to be having candles with wood wicks. So, you know, and all
wood
of that.
Wood wicks.
So with all of that stuff, I intertwine that. And then I usually try to do a spotlight on each vendor. So, yeah,
so
we like to have fun with it.
It's a lot of fun, and I love going, and sometimes we'll just bring our lawn chair, and even though we're customers, we sit out there and just chit-chat with them. And you're right, everybody kind of knows everybody, and you get to have your regular, you get to have your regular customers. So the grand opening is this Thursday from 3 to 6 p.m., and then they'll be open Saturday from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., and Tuesday and every Thursday from 3 to 6 p.m., so it's just starting out. Fruits, vegetables, so much more, all locally grown, all locally produced. Even the crafts are things that people are doing and making. And it's just a way for them to have a little side hustle, a little business, and make a little bit of money. And the parking couldn't be more convenient.
Oh, yeah, you don't
have to
drive
just pull right
around.
Up.
Yeah, just pull right up.
Pull right up and come on in. Is something special happening Thursday because of the grand opening? Or is it just grand opening, come on out and see what's there?
Well, I tell you, I got some secrets. I don't want to let them out of the bag. You know me.
What the heck are you here for?
Yeah.
But I will tell you.
He won't tell me either.
I believe it's August. I don't have my calendar in front of me. August the 10th, I think it is. Or anyway, you'll be known on the Facebook page. We always have customer
appreciation day.
I'm at the Pepsi booth giving out free Pepsi products and hot dogs, and we have a blast.
Oh, that's fun.
We're pet friendly, so I let the dogs come up. I even give them one.
Absolutely. Hot dog for the dogs.
Swamped that day.
Yeah.
Well, and you should be swamped every day. What are some of the benefits of shopping at the farmer's market? John, I know for you, just sitting there as a vendor, it's a very social, it's a much more social activity than just going to a boutique or even going to the grocery store.
Oh, yeah, because we like to talk and see what's going on in the world and discuss, you know, our stuff we do at the farmer's market and new products coming in and new people, new vendors. So,
you know, the game telephone where you start at one end and you see the message?
Yeah.
I think I'll start a rumor down at Crawford Stand on one end and see how
to
get to the other end.
That's right.
Are most of the people back this year? Is Mr. Smith back or not?
Yes, he's going to be back. His wife sells eggs. They have homemade, they make you want to slap your grandma. Homemade noodles, oh my gosh, they're good. And then you could freeze them. So we buy a whole bunch and freeze them. She makes pastries. We have another lady that's got a bakery. Of course, he's got all of his fresh meats
and stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
And that, you know, we know where it came from.
That cow,
where that cow came from.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, Greg and I are getting farm fresh eggs again. And, oh, my gosh, I had poached eggs for breakfast on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And the yolk was orange.
It was so rich.
Yeah.
And tastes so good.
Brown eggs. My grandmother was 105 when she died. She said, honey, if you're going to make homemade eggs, you've got to use brown farm eggs because the yolks are richer. And, yeah, that's very true.
But, you know, and even the white, well, ours come in, we get a variety pack. I mean, they just whatever. We get it. Some of them have a little blue tint.
Yeah.
Some
of
them are really dark, almost chocolate brown. Some of them are almost white.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I don't know what this guy's feeding these chickens, but they got all different color eggs and probably a lot of different kinds of chickens. So
jelly beans.
It looks like. So we'll always have, when sweet corn's in, you'll have the sweet corn, the tomatoes, everything that comes into season, you're going to be able to get fresh right there. Can you take snap food stamp cards?
We take, as of right now, we've got it fixed. We'll take those farmers market coupons that they can get. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he's working on other paperwork too. But how far we're on that, mm-hmm. I don't know. But yeah, we'll have, I've seen pictures already. Cucumbers, zucchini, green beans, two kinds of lettuce, green onions, regular onions. I think there's strawberries. There'll be flowers. And then I've seen tomatoes. They're big, but they're not red yet. Yeah.
So if you want fried green tomatoes.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be just wonderful,
like
yeah.
Okay. So, you know, again, this is locally produced produce. You can talk right there to the person who usually made mm-hmm. it. You can, you know, guarantee that, everything is hopefully fresh and
nothing
nutritious.
From China or
nothing
Japan.
From China or Japan, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
That.
And again, the closer we eat to home, the closer we eat to our own ground, that is the better. Are the Stewarts back with their craft?
Oh,
thing?
Yeah.
Oh,
Monica,
yeah.
My buddy. In fact, I've already got some sales planned for her.
Okay.
She doesn't know yet.
When you see Monica and Cecil, tell them Mary said hi, because they are fabulous. And the stuff they make, they made me a customized Pringle can holder that I could wear around my ankle.
I got a Reese's peanut butter cup cold.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, they've got, if you're looking for an unusual gift, go there, and they can customize it for you. Now, they won't have it that day, but you can say, hey, Monica, I really like this. Can you put initials on it, or can you make it custom for this? Or you can use this kind of fabric mm-hmm. on it.
Yeah.
And within a week, I'm sure she'll be able to have it back for you.
She made a stuffed animal that looks exactly like our puppy.
Oh.
I took a picture, and I put it on the thing. You go, oh, my God, where'd you get that? You go, put your order in.
Yep.
And then I have a little doggy diaper bag, as I call it. You put your phone and your water bottle and all that. She makes that, and I've already got people. Where'd you get that? Got to come Saturday, and she'll, you know, set you up, you know.
Okay.
She's
well,
they're a sweetheart.
They are. They are lovely, lovely. All the people at the farmers markets are lovely, and the Quincy Town Center Farmers Market is opening at 34th and Broadway this Thursday from 3 to 6. Get out there early. And get the best selection on all the produce. He just mentioned all the things that they're going to have. Plus, they'll have jewelry and cut flowers and
fresh
soap.
Honey, local fresh
local.
Honey.
And the key there with honey is, I think people don't understand this, to get the true nutritional benefits and the anti-allergen benefits, it has to be local.
Have been local.
Yeah, it's got to be local honey that
because you're
they
used
fed
to
off of,
you're used to the pollen
the
and
pollen
stuff
that
here.
That bothers you is what they're using to make the honey, and then that makes you desensitized
right.
to it. So it improves your digestion. And it's weird though, because children, little bitty kids, can't have honey.
Under two, I believe.
Yeah,
it
they
is,
can't digest it or something.
And they bring it's what really neat. They bring some of their bees.
Oh my gosh!
And like a little square thing,
yeah,
and you can
little,
see them all around. Yeah, so it's really,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And like I said, we've known, they're good friends of ours. And we buy tons of honey. And then it's really funny, like the last week of the farmer's market, everybody will be buying like 5-6 to get them through the winter because it's really good in hot
and
tea.
Honey is non-perishable.
Right.
Yeah,
honey,
non-perishable.
They
yeah.
dig up things in Athens, you know, Greece, and
yes.
there's a pot of honey in there, and it still looks,
yeah.
you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so just so much going on. Well, don't forget to stop by J&J Soaps. I'm going to see what they brought me today because there's always some new, I call them flavors, don't eat them. But,
well, I brought you plain and spearmint. So.
Well, plain? What does plain smell like? Just plain?
Just plain, yeah. In case you have
it
allergy
still
to
it. Smells good.
Got
though.
A little smell to it.
Well, it smells like the ingredients, which are goat's milk, olive oil, coconut oil, lye, soy oil, and the fragrance is plain, so there's no fragrance in this one. So if you don't want fragrance, and then this one is spearmint, which
ooh, that's good
that'll wake
morning.
You up in the morning.
Yeah.
That'll wake you up. And again, olive oil, coconut oil, lye, because you got to get clean.
Yeah, you got to get that clean.
And the goats
but the goat's
are
milk.
Our kids. Did you know that they call them kids?
Yes, and they're your kids.
Yes,
so
I
know. So if people say, how many kids do you have, what do you tell them?
No, what I went and did was I go, buy kids, and they looked at me like, where are you from? And I go, I got home, and they told me, I go, oh, so now it's hi, children.
Well, it's quite a process how they make this soap, and it is good. I've been using it for years now, thanks to you guys, and the lotions and all that and the stuff, and it's really good. If you've got a skin condition, you might want to consider stopping by J&J Soap. So, once again, the Farmers Market at 34th and Broadway. You can see it right there from the busy Broadway. traffic may be backed up all the way to 34th Street
if
we don't get some of this
stuff
resolved.
Right.
And folks, you know, just go, take your time. It's a strolling event. It's not a hurried event. You know, take as much time as you need to see everything. Kind of pick out, you know, sometimes I look at those cucumbers and I go down five stalls and I look at those cucumbers. I look at this tomato. I look at this sweet corn. But you'll find your favorites and you'll find the people that you want to support. And, of course, always, if you want to, kind of spread the wealth around. That's always a great way to do
that
it.
Is
well,
good.
I like how we've got it set up. We did it last year so you can, there's vendors on both sides. So you can walk right down the middle and go over back and forth. And, you know, like you said, someone might have a cucumber that you like and you talk to them.
Then
you go up and go, oh, man, I'll get this, you know, whatever. Yeah. So people buy from everybody.
Buy from everybody. Yeah. That's the most important thing. Thank you so very much
well,
for stopping by.
Thank you for having us.
We
appreciate
really
appreciate it.
Thank you for the soaps. And the grand opening this Thursday from 3 to 6. Don't miss it. Be out there at the Farmer's Market. Thank you for joining me today. We'll be back again to do it all tomorrow.